Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about raising your vibration and taking inspired action to create the life that you want after a toxic relationship. Today, we are going to dig in and talk about rumination, as in how to stop overthinking everything that happens as we will talk about it, and how to make decisions more confidently. So bear with me as we get going here. As always, what I will be doing is I will start off with 15 minutes or so of content, and then I'm gonna hang out with you guys for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes after that, all right? So let's just jump right into it and let's catch a shine buzz. All right, so I'm gonna start off by telling you guys a little story. You know, I always find that it's helpful to kind of relate to whatever we're talking about, right? So one of the things that happened to me is soon after I started like being with my ex-husband, I started to notice that I developed a disturbing habit. And in hindsight, I recognized that this is because of his behavior, but it was my own habit that I picked up. I started overthinking literally everything this man did, everything he said, every look on his face, y'all. I was ruminating in a big way about all of it. I started just feeling completely paralyzed by this. Anyway, for example, the night before we got married, he had gone out with his best man and I went out with my maid of honor. We didn't really have whole wedding parties, so it was just the two of us in each situation. Well, my maid of honor happened to be a recovering alcoholic, so I decided that we would have a, you know, sober night when we went out, which was totally fine. Actually worked out well because later I would find out I was already pregnant with my oldest son that night, but I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, my fiance and his best man went out, and obviously they drank. They got pretty wasted. And of course, I had previously had all these conversations with him about, you know, please don't go to a strip club. I had a lot of insecurities. I didn't want him to go to the strip club. Well, he went anyway, I'm pretty sure. I never found out 100% for sure, but pretty sure he did. And anyway, when they got home that night, here was I, stone cold sober, and here were they, blasted beyond belief. And he made this comment to me that really got under my skin. He said something about how, you know, oh, all men wonder what women look like under their clothes. And he was not talking about me. He made it very clear that he was thinking of my friend, my maid of honor, when he said this. So, of course, what did I do? I went into this big spiral of self-doubt. Still married him, of course, because, you know, I didn't know better back then. But instead of recognizing that what he was doing was not really about anything being wrong with me, but about him being insensitive and disrespectful, and maybe trying to mess with my head, I would spend literally the next few years trying to be good enough for him. And that, of course, never happened. It couldn't happen. And I won't go into details here, but I did talk about the whys of it all in my recent webinar, which you can watch for free if you go to queenbeing.com, and right at the top of the page, you'll see a yellow box. Just click there. I couldn't publish certain things that were in that video on YouTube. YouTube doesn't like those things. So I stuck with the offsite version, but don't do that right now. Do that later. The point is though, that I went through this spiral of self-doubt that was fueled by that night. And this would plague me well into the future, right? I was suddenly obsessed with trying to figure out what he was looking at all the time. I wanted to know what his eyes were resting on. I wanted to know what was he thinking and who was he thinking about. And I just became insanely jealous of literally any other female on the planet that happened to catch his eye. It was paralyzing. I was embarrassed about it. I didn't like it, but literally anything having to do with any other woman, I was like freaking out. You know what I'm saying? And it took over my whole head. I mean, it was so bad that if there was like a racy scene on television or a woman in a bikini on television, I was freaking out. No kidding. It was serious. Somehow I intrinsically understood that I was never going to be enough for him, but I couldn't figure out exactly why. And in hindsight, now I recognize it was never about me. It was always about him and his own issues. In fact, I've had the pleasure of meeting and speaking with two of his previous, the two wives that came after me. Now he's with the third wife after me, number four, I think, as far as I know. And each of them, who were both very different from me in appearance, each of them had the same experience. So I know for sure it wasn't me, right? But it became this incredibly self-destructive way for me to live. And it would follow me all the way into my next marriage. And then it would take years before I'd realize what I was doing to myself. And what it all came down to was I was ruminating way too much over things that really didn't matter that much. It was overthinking to the extreme, right? So just in case you don't know, rumination means the tendency to repetitively think about causes, situational factors, and consequences of one's negative emotional experience, right? So it's also really, really common for survivors of narcissistic abuse and other types of trauma. Yep. So I wonder, can you relate to this feeling? Is it something you went through? Well, if you find yourself spending too much time thinking or stressing and not getting things done, you might be dealing with this. Overthinking is common, especially when it comes to making decisions. And this is another thing that happens, is that when you have spent so much time doubting yourself and doubting everything about yourself, well, what do you think you do? You start to doubt your ability to trust yourself to make a good decision. And this is very common. It's not only related to overthinking, but overthinking definitely plays a part. It's also related to the control issues and everything else with a narcissist. But overthinking in general, though, it not only does it waste your time, but it lowers your confidence, you miss awesome opportunities, all that stuff. And people who are healthier and more successful in most areas of their lives learn how to make decisions more quickly and stick with them. This is an area where a lot of us struggle, right? If you struggle here, say I struggle right now in the chat. Those who, like us, you know, sometimes we take too long to decide, or sometimes we change our minds too quickly because we doubt our decision, right? We might think we're being responsible or cautious by taking our time or thinking things over. And in some cases we are. Like, for example, instead of making a giant refrigerator purchase or whatever, a purchase of, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, you might take your time and read the reviews and do your research. Well, that's different than just overthinking everything. That's different than racking your brain for 3 weeks before you buy it. Can I really afford this? Is it really something I should buy? Blah, blah, blah. No, if you need a refrigerator, you need a refrigerator, right? Anyway, basically by overthinking, you're often shooting yourself in the foot, proverbially speaking. So, there's no evidence that tells us that ruminating excessively on any choice or decision has ever resulted in a better outcome. You know, something to think about. So these are some things you can do to really kind of make up your mind and get on with your life. All right. Number one, make a pros and cons list, advantages and disadvantages. Write it all down. There is something almost magical about putting a pen to paper when you're making decisions. And also, for a side note, for manifesting, but we'll come back to that. By the time that you make the list, you very often, it's really clear, like, okay, well, there's 100 pros and one con, or vice versa. Sometimes it's a little less clear, but it's really easier for you to see, you know, what you're getting out of a situation and what you're not, or vice versa, what you're giving up. Okay, number two, think about your core values. You know, if you think about what you really believe, what you really want to be true about yourself, you know, I think decisions can be made more quickly and easily when you think about it from that perspective. So if you consider a choice tested against your core values, like sometimes the choice, it's not the easiest choice to make when you're putting your core values in it, but it certainly gives you a better, you know, outlook on what exactly you actually want or would like to have in that situation. For example, let's just say you're in a relationship with someone and the person of your dreams from back in the day or just shows up, I don't know, some person of your dreams shows up and you think, gosh, am I really doing the right thing by staying in this relationship? Or should I go test out this person? Well, if your values tell you that you don't cheat, then you don't go test out that person. Or if you do, you break up with that one first, right? Or if your values tell you that it's all about, you know, new opportunities and looking forward, well, you know, maybe you're a narcissist. I'm just kidding. But cheating is not, in my opinion, a value that's worth having. I'm an anti-cheater. But anyway, whatever it is for you, my point is think about your core values and make a choice based on that, if nothing else. Or number three, remember that you can always change your mind. Very few of our choices are, you know, written in stone. Very few of them leave us stuck for life with a situation outside of maybe, marriage. And even then, technically, we can undo that, even though it's hard. But just knowing that you can change your mind later sometimes will give you the freedom to make a choice now. Do you know what I'm saying? And I mean, honestly, it's not really possible for us to predict the future anyway. I mean, we can sometimes have an educated guess, a hypothesis on what it might be, but we don't really know for sure, right? Okay, number four, don't deal with paralysis by analysis. And what I mean is, we all know that we all overanalyze things on occasion, but it doesn't lead to better results, whether we like to believe it or not. It leads to inactivity, leads to us feeling stuck and confused. Look, you know the special forces, the U.S. Special Forces. Well, they have a rule that you only need to be 70% certain to act. Why do you think that is? I mean, it's because the window of opportunity closes, statistically, before the last 30% of the information gets gathered. You don't have to be in the military to see that that's a valuable rule, right? So give yourself a little leeway. If you're almost sure, if you're pretty sure that this is what you want to do, just try it out if it's something that, you know, is worth your energy and your time. Obviously, I always want you to be legal and safe and healthy and not hurting anyone or yourself. But outside of that, jump if you need to, within reason. Number five, think about both short-term and long-term effects, that what's going to happen here. So in many situations, in most situations, there is usually something that satisfies both short-term and long-term satisfaction. So ask yourself right now, am I going to be happy with that decision in 15 minutes? And if the answer is yes, okay, there's step one. If you ask yourself, am I going to be happy with this choice in 15 years? Well, there's step two. Because in 15 minutes, something will happen. In 15 years, something will happen. Maybe in 15 years, that decision will be irrelevant, and then you know for sure, okay, it's cool. Maybe in 15 years, that decision will be you're still married to that person, if that's the choice you're trying to make, whatever it is. Think about the consequences. Think about the 15 minutes and 15 years rule. Because any decision that makes you feel confident in both 15 minutes and 15 years from now is probably a good decision, right? Number six, stay busy. People who overthink everything, if we're being honest, maybe they have too much time on their hands to think. So, you know, I always say keep yourself busy doing stuff that you enjoy, even if it's just the activities of daily living. But, you know, because the fact is, when you're busy, number one, you make decisions faster, and partially because you don't have time to dwell on everything so hard. But I don't want you to be overly busy to the point that you're miserable, because that's a whole other day, a whole other video. But, you know, just be more active in general. Take the time to do things that keep you physically busy and emotionally or mentally busy, mentally, I should say, because it's just easier to make choices that way. And when I say busy, I don't mean excessively. I just mean comfortably busy, right? Okay. And, you know, you can always think about exercise, because that's another way to get those endorphins up, raise your vibration, feel better about life in general. Another way to stay busy, take your thinking time and walk while you think, maybe. Okay, number seven, use your experience and things that happened in the past to your advantage. And what I mean is, we've all made a whole bunch of poor choices over the years, right? It would be a shame to allow those poor choices to just go to waste, wouldn't it? Just saying. So if you've been in a similar situation in the past, think about the choice you made at that time and use that as sort of a guiding light or an insight into your current situation, right? Number eight, use a timer to make choices or decisions. If we're being honest, like, most of our decisions don't take days or weeks or even hours to make, but a couple of hours is usually more than enough time. I mean, again, if we're talking about, like, you know, if you're, say, choosing a college to go to, that's, you know, we're choosing whether or not you want to have a baby. Those are different choices. I'm talking about regular daily choices. Most of them shouldn't take more than 1 or 2 hours. So set a timer and tell yourself, okay, I'm going to make a decision when the timer goes off. That's sometimes a way to just get yourself moving on almost anything. So, you know, use a timer, puts your focus on the issue, and when you hear the alarm, now it's time to decide, make a choice. I think it's an effective way to also narrow your focus as you're going forward, right? Do you all have your coffee, by the way? Because I'm just going to take a sip here. Okay, Number nine, a good decision beats, wait, hold on. Making a good decision right now, it kind of beats making a great decision later. What I mean is, what are you waiting for? If you're going to be happy, if you're going to be successful, it's more about making decent decisions and taking inspired action, working hard when necessary, than it is about making just, oh, I just made an awesome decision. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? If we overestimate the value of perfection and we underestimate the value of action, it's a problem. It causes us more issues than I can say. Bottom line, overanalyzing every little decision will drive you insane. You're limiting not only your results and your positive stuff that's happening in your life, but you're wasting your time making decisions that sometimes aren't as important as you think. You know, does it really matter if you wear a red or a blue shirt today? Does it, you know, certain decisions are minute, certain ones are bigger. So don't waste time on the little things. Stay focused on what you can control. And, you know, be clear on your values. Be clear on what you believe in, your ethics. And then try a timer if you need to. Just recognize that no matter what, you don't make better decisions by overthinking them. You don't make better decisions by ruminating over things. You're just driving yourself crazy. So don't waste your time. Use that time instead to execute those decisions. I promise you, you won't regret it, and you'll be more happy and successful in your life overall. Are you with me? I hope so. So what would you add? This is the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you struggled with rumination and overthinking? And if you have, what did you do to overcome it? Share your thoughts, share your experiences, share your ideas in the comment section here in the chat or below if you're watching the playback, and let me know what you think about this. All right, you know what time it is now, right? Yep, yep, it's time to read the cards. So as usual, we are starting today with our dialectical behavior skills therapy deck, and excuse me, dialectical behavior therapy skills deck. And this is going to be linked in the description below when we're finished here. But until then, we will be, it doesn't matter. You don't need to buy it because the fact of the matter is that I'll be sharing every card with you. Today we're doing number 37, which is an emotional regulation skill. And grab your pen, grab your paper, and get ready to write this down because this is your homework for today, this emotional regulation skill. It says, use emotion exposure. Relax using mindful breathing. Notice and describe your emotion. Notice it growing or diminishing in intensity. Describe any new emotions or changes in quality. Notice impulses to block or act on your emotion, but don't do either. Keep watching until the emotion changes or significantly diminishes. Practice today for 5 minutes. So give this a shot after our session today. Try exposing yourself to your own emotion, being very hyper aware of it. Use your mindfulness. Use all of those things. Notice impulses to block and act on your emotion, but don't do either. Keep watching until it diminishes or significantly changes. I think this is a really good one for today. Really good for self-awareness and things like that. All right. All right, all right, all right. Next. Next. Our super attractor deck will provide our daily, our affirmation for the day. And today's card is a beautiful card. And I think it kind of works for today, actually. Again, I draw these randomly, so I'm always impressed when they kind of line up with the day. It says, I trust. Now write this down because this is your affirmation for today. It says, I trust that my powerful intentions combined with my faith are enough to allow my vision to become reality. I'm going to read it one more time. I trust that my powerful intentions combined with my faith are enough to allow my vision to become my reality. Write it down. This is your affirmation for today. All right. All right. Now, as per usual, I'm going to jump in the chat and say hello to everyone. And then we're going to just do a little chatting until we're done here. So let's go. Hello, Grace. Hello, Hanan from Sweden says, I look amazing. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. What's for tea in the house? Megan from Japan. Hello, hello. Changing my life. Hello. Annette, hello. She says, oh, you're helping me a lot. I'm from Holland. Welcome, welcome to the Spanily, Annette. Hey, Kaden. Martha, hello, hello. Yes, you are correct, Kaden. All men is a projection, and some men are asexual or romantic. That is true. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not implying when I say what I'm saying, when I tell that story, I'm telling that story from the perspective of where I was at that time and how I understood things to be at that time. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm not, I've grown quite a lot. That was 20 years ago. So bear with me. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Amira says, hello, Amira. Welcome. I'm really struggling with all those thoughts. No, nothing makes sense, and I'm missing my narcissist, even though I know he is toxic, but somehow I'm still in denial to accept. That is very common. It's trauma bonding. Most likely, you're trauma bonded to him. It's almost like a physical addiction. So stick with us, and we'll help you get through it. I do suggest when you get a chance after we're done here, you Google, or not Google, but go here to the YouTube search and type in Angie Atkinson trauma bonding, and you will see tons of help with that. And in the meantime, stick with us, and we'll help you get through it. Megan has to get off the train, but she'll be around. All right, let's see here. Kathy says, is there any way I can talk to you privately? Yes, I do one-on-one coaching. You can go to queenbeing.com/coaching to check that out if you're interested. Heather says, I'm still missing the POS too, and it's hard to understand why. Indeed, just exactly what I said to Amira, it's trauma bonding. Heather, stick with us. We'll help you get through it. Martha says, I'm the definition of that. Me too, girl. I get it. I still struggle with it a little bit, but I do a little better now. Barbara, hello. Rapunzel says, I'm still going through it. Bama says, true. Suzanne says, hello. Hugs from Sweden. Hello, Suzanne. Welcome. Welcome back. Martha says, working on correcting this. Wes Ortiz says, taking over your whole head is right. Not doing that much anymore, but still watching out for it. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't let things take over my whole head for the most part now. Really helps me to think about what I can control and not what I can't. Like understanding that I didn't need to worry, and in fact shouldn't worry about things I couldn't control. It took me too long, but it changed my life in some majorly exciting ways. So yes, let's see here. Heather says, every day I struggle. I feel you. Madison says, I struggle. Suzanne struggles. Ours struggles. Kimberly, yes, yes. Grace says, I can relate. I remember ruminating on things very early in life. By the time I was a teen and experiencing traumas, I have no control of my thoughts. At 42, I can say I mostly control my thoughts now. Same, Grace. I felt that I had no control. It wasn't until I learned that I could control my thoughts and my experience that I started to do it. I really didn't understand that concept fully until I was probably in my 30s, which sucks, but it's true. Bama says, you do tend to overthink and become double-minded. Yep. Amber says, struggle. Yep. Bama struggled. Martha says, held hostage at times. No fun and an uncomfortable place to be. Yes. Yes, Kathy, you can go to queenbeing.com/coaching if you want to talk to me privately. Nubia, hello, hello and welcome back. Grace says, recognizing which thoughts are overthinking thoughts and coming up with pattern interrupts is a very healthy way to manage. Yes, that is exactly, it's a big important thing that I do. And I tell you guys all the time about my go-to pattern interrupt. It's an affirmation. I just say, nope, I now cancel that thought and replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. And it can be anything related or unrelated to the issue, as long as it's more positive than whatever I'm ruminating over. Yes. Linda says, I remember not too long ago, my list had lists. Now I'm down to a calendar. Right on, girl. I'm down to a bullet journal. How about that? It's close. UNA says, is it just my connection? I see the shine buzz. Okay. I hope she gets that fixed. But welcome, Peggy, if you are here. Bama says, the narcissist grip is a horrible feeling. Especially in the past, you were strong and very independent, and the narcissist now has you dependent on them. They lie, cheat, steal, and have no remorse. All of those things are true. What's for tea can relate to Martha's statement about it being feeling like a hostage. Yeah, I totally have felt like a hostage in my own life, in my own head sometimes. I totally get that. Angela Falsetta, hello number one and welcome back. She says, so glad I made it to your live stream. Hello, fellow survivors. This topic is a big one for us. Yes, indeed. Polly Pink says, I don't really know how that's relevant, but welcome. I guess it's true. The roads are lined with squirrels that could not make decisions. Yeah, I guess the point of that is that, not making a decision got them in some pretty negative situations. Grace says, I catch my fear-based mind analyzing conversations that never even happened, or ruminating on future events and how they might play out. Pattern interrupts help to shorten them. Absolutely, with you on that. Hello, Mo Cowboy. Welcome back, my friend. Martha says cooking helps her. Bama says, yes, being busy helps you get back to yourself. Agreed. Hello, Lisa. Angela says to Bama, I know what you mean. I was independent from them for a long time till they got old, and I was taking care of them out of fear, obligation, and guilt. FOG. And then quit for my sanity. Good for you. Proud of you for doing that. Let's see here. Bama says cooking and exercise helps Bama. UNA says, yay, shut my phone down, restarted it. Everything is back. Hello. Welcome back, Pete. Jedi Frogmaster in the house. Hello, hello, and welcome, my friend. Happy to have you back as always. Love your name as always. No worry, no worries, Peggy. Caden says, I've given up coffee, but I was thinking about making a cup of tea. Tea is nice. Tea is nice, yes. And good for you for giving up coffee. I haven't done that and might never, unless, yeah. But I totally respect your choice. But I have cut back on my coffee. I used to drink probably, I don't know, a whole pot a day. Now I have a Keurig, so down to 2 or 3 cups, which is something. Usually 3. I'm not gonna lie. Mama says, yes, Angie, it's like simple choices seem challenging. Yeah, which is called pondering, right? UNA mostly ruminates about people. Me too. Siobhan says, sounds like me. I feel you. Oh, I like this. She has a, oh wow, that's cool. Angela has a copyright on this phrase, turn our scars into stars. Cool. She said, I'm starting to write a book on that. That's awesome. Got her tea. Yes, girl, yes. Okay. Ours says, I spend so much time thinking about other people. Awful. I did too, way too much. Yeah. It's kind of funny when you learn to stop doing that. You're almost like, well, now what do I do with my brain? I'm just kidding. But my point is that, it does free up a lot of time when you stop ruminating and you can actually start to intentionally create positive change in your life. And that's a beautiful thing, I think. Let's see here. Martha says, I'm fine with the minutiae. It's bigger things that keep me loopholed in. Yeah, and absolutely, I get that. I mean, like I said, even making a big purchase sometimes can make you feel frozen. But at some point, you kind of learn. Like, for example, I wanted to buy a new freezer for like the last 6 to 8 months, and I just bought it last week. And all I had to do was go into the kitchen and measure the spot that I wanted to put the freezer in and make sure I didn't buy one that was too big. But I kept overthinking everything and worrying too much about what if I get the wrong thing? What if they don't, blah, 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 all the stuff. But now I have one and I'm super thrilled about it. Anyway, yes. Mo Cowboy is looking forward to Angela Falsetta's book. And that is awesome. Kimberly says, I was in a narcissistic marriage for 5 years and I found out the lies toward the end. He was in the army and made me feel like I was crazy. I finally filed for divorce less than 1 year ago. Welcome, really. Welcome to the Spanily. We are happy to have you here. I'm sorry that we had to meet under these circumstances, but I'm glad that you're here with your fellow survivors because things get better. And here we are here to talk about that and how to level up our lives. This is good stuff. Hello, Miss Catherine. Thank you, my friend. Stevie says, I can't seem to do anything. I think I've reached the insane point. I can't find a therapist. Hugs, love to all of you. Stevie, I hear you, honey. I hear you. And I suggest considering, I don't know your situation, but definitely get involved with the support groups. Definitely think about some different options for yourself. There is coaching available. It may or may not be right for you, depending on your situation. But try not to give up on yourself, first of all. I think we've all felt insane at one point or another going through this stuff. Just don't give up on yourself and keep trying. Even baby steps toward sanity, it's a start. This is a really difficult situation to get through. Hello, Tanya. Welcome. Mo Cowboy says, scar tissue is stronger than the surrounding tissue, and no nerves in most scar tissue. There in scar tissue is immune to narc abuse. Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. True, true, valid points. Okay, now I lost my place. La la la. Okay, here we go. All righty. So, We also have, let's see here, Caden, oh, gave up coffee. Where were we? Okay. So here we go. Cindy says, my version of, wait a minute, somebody said, Siobhan said, I tell myself to hush and go. I love that. These are some solutions you guys have come up with for getting through the rumination and letting go of stuff and making decisions. Cindy says, her version of hush and go is stop it, Cindy. And she said, it does work. Right on, girl. UNA says, oh, a lot about my own motives. I'm a questioner, ruminator. Oh, yep, I feel you. Bama says, answer, I worked more, I exercised, I ate right, I took long walks and breathing techniques, stayed distracted, and I'm reinventing myself. That is awesome. Awesome. Ours says, Stevie, I think and hope it will be better soon. Yes, ours indeed. Martha says, the Serenity Prayer does help as well to give me a quick reset. Yeah, whatever works for you, and I think that is something about, wait, I know this. I can't think of it right now, but I know it. I can't believe I'm blanking on that. Okay, well, anyway, you guys know it. The Serenity Prayer. I accept the things I cannot change. I change the things I cannot. I don't know, but you guys know it. I know it normally. I'm just having one of those morning moments, I guess. Jedi says ruminations are similar to how an animal paces back and forth in a cage that cannot escape. Ooh, that is a powerful connection, a powerful, what is that, a metaphor? Or, yeah, that's powerful. Flower Child says, hello from Las Vegas. Hello, Flower Child. Happy Monday. Madeline says, STL. Oh, you're in STL. Hey. Hey, I'm close to there now. Angela says, you got you on the 20 years ago. Yep. Jedi says, study Marcus Aurelius. He has much wisdom. Right on. Tanya, I missed your message there. Madison says, love you all today. Thank you, Madison. Loving your member heart. That is awesome. What's for tea says, if I start spinning, I try to stop and zoom out. Oh, this is good. And see how it fits with other priorities. Can I just put it aside and analyze it later? That's really good stuff. Yeah, that's a good idea. Tanya says, yeah, trauma bonding, the struggle is real. Right? Yeah, I know. Jedi says, the ancient Greek and Roman Stoics can help us tremendously with their words of wisdom. Sure enough. Madison says, trauma bonding is something else, guys. It's tough to break free from. And that is, I think many of us can relate to that anyway, if not all of us. Paulette says, thank you, Angie. This has been my MO since my relationship ended and even started while I was in it. I'm trying to end this overthinking. Now I know why it totally makes sense. Thank you. Absolutely, Paulette, this is what I'm here for. Thank you so much for letting me know that. Yeah, Tanya, it is hard. And Siobhan says, we become our worst enemy. Yes, we do, girl. I know. What's for tea says, I try to distract with something. That any kind of distraction can help, and that's a good pattern interrupt, you know. Hello, Violet. Welcome back, my friend. Catherine says, yes, held hostage by your thoughts. Angela says, daydreaming is very common that's true. Daydreaming is common for us, people who go through this type of abuse. And I think, you know, if I'm being honest, I remember being in trouble for daydreaming in second grade, you know, from back in all through school. And I think it's the nature of, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Terry loves the squirrel comment. Me too. It actually fits me in some ways that are kind of funny. Like, I like how Dana always says squirrely when she's talking about narcissists. They have squirrely behavior. That always amuses me. But also, there's the meme, you know, for people with ADD, which I have been diagnosed with, unfortunately. And, you know, where you're talking along and you're like, what, squirrel? You know, okay, moving on. Anyway, Superstar, hey, Superstar, I'm glad to see you in a live stream. She says, I think ruminating happens when our brain is struggling with cognitive dissonance, which happens when abuse occurs. Yes, absolutely. Angela says, you look beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Terry agrees with Superstar. Angela says, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. She gets the fridge thing. She's been there for many things. Yeah. Bama says, Kimberly, I know how you feel. My narcissist was a veteran. Yeah, I've heard some horror stories there. UNA says, one thing that snaps me out of ruminating is playing the piano. I love that. She says, at least while I'm playing. I haven't had one from years, but air piano is great. That's awesome. You know, you can get a keyboard for less than a piano, like a keyboard, a full-size keyboard, and play that. My son plays all these instruments, and they get expensive. And we had a piano at our last house. We got rid of it because of space, and then when we moved, we had enough space for it. Weird thing that we did. But anyway, we ended up buying him an electric piano, which takes up less space and is less expensive. So that's cool. And he likes it. Catherine loves the hush and go thing. Actually, this is kind of funny. I played a lot of instruments growing up as well, and I'm just going to touch on this piano thing. UNA said I never really played piano effectively, but other instruments, clarinet, like woodwinds, strings, not strings, woodwinds, brass, and percussion. But I will be possibly getting, my son would like me to get a clarinet again because he'd like me to play with him in a municipal band coming near here, and I'm thinking about it. So I'll have to practice again, but that might be good for my head too. Oh, Siobhan says green tea and essential oils diffuser helps calm my mind. Oh, that's awesome. We're at NARC colleague. She says I mix sage every day for the NARC energy. I wish I had this while growing up around my toxic family. That's awesome, Siobhan. Thanks for sharing that. That's a good point. Martha says, what's for tea? Spinning. Exactly. Sometimes it's an actual experience that is visible. What happened? Where was it? No. Okay. Well, it's here somewhere. Okay. Oh, there it goes. Sometimes it's an actual experience that's visible to others. Yeah, I totally get that. I get that. Yep. Hello, Montreal. Welcome. Says, I'm here, but let's go. Yes. Catherine says that YouTube award, though. Oh, I know, right? That's for when I hit 100,000. Yeah, thank you. Zani says, my pattern interrupt is be here now. My overanalyzing mind throws thoughts from the past and often worries for the future, too. Too crowded. My now needs attention and everything else can wait. I love that. That is really good. She says, be here now. Love, love, love that. Very good. Very good. Good suggestion. Pantera says, I can't stop missing my ex-narcissist even though I already moved on and I'm dating a guy who truly loves me. Angie, any tips to stop missing or thinking about the nostalgic moments with my ex? Usually, I would suggest not jumping into a relationship until you're past that point. In this case, assuming that you're with a really good guy, I mean, I'm not going to say dump the dude, but I am going to say maybe take some time to mourn that relationship. It sounds like maybe you didn't take the time that you needed to heal in between. Maybe you need like a weekend to yourself to kind of work through it. I would need a little bit more detail on all of that so I can give you better answers. But that's just my general recommendation. If you have more information to share or if you want to set up a session or something, we can talk about that. Angela says, me too, daydreaming grammar school on up. Yeah, me too, girl. How did I become a nurse? She said, yeah, well, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And I'm going to say that, you know, here we are. Being a nurse, it makes sense for you because you're an empath. A lot of nurses are empaths, I think. People who care really deeply about how other people feel and want to make them feel better. It just makes a lot of sense if you think about it. One second here. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. Okay. yeah. Yeah. And I think what I find is that I'm able to focus deeply on things I really care about, even when other things space me out. You know, I notice if I'm not into something, I'll space out really easily. But if I am into something, then I will hyper-focus on it sometimes. And maybe that's the ADD stuff. But you know, I've also in the past I've done research and connected the ADHD factor to narcissistic abuse potentially, because it's just the way our brains function. But either way, I handle it. I deal with it. I get by okay most of the time. Kira says, hello, Angie, and everyone just saw this topic pop up in my notifications and needed to join. Happy to have you, Kira. Welcome. Stevie says, thank you for telling me not to give up. May unexpected welcome surprises start coming. Sending you all great love. Thank you, Stevie. Big hugs and love to you, too. I appreciate you. She says, thank you, Angie, for making the world a better place. Thank you for everything you do. It's my pleasure. Thanks for being here and supporting me and being part of my spanily. Catherine says, yes, you should totally get a clarinet. Okay, I'll think about that. Yeah, I owned clarinets. It was my first instrument. That's why I thought it's probably the only one I can still play. I played it the longest. But when I was in college and I was broke, I sold the two clarinets I had. One was the one that had been purchased for me in fourth grade. And the other one was one I actually purchased myself in high school. I had to make payments on it. It was a nice wooden clarinet. I'm so mad at myself. But, you know, when you're broke, you do what you got to do to get through. So, Beth says about the daydreaming, I looked into it myself years ago. It's called maladaptive daydreaming and is a byproduct of emotional and social neglect as a child. I can see that. Yeah, Beth, thank you for sharing that. Shred Squad, hey, welcome back, my friend, says, I watched the videos you told me to watch. All I can say is yes, made me cry a bit because of the validation. Well, you know what, Shred Squad, I really appreciate that you shared that with me because I know it's not easy, and I am glad that they were helpful videos for you, my friend. Yep. Beth says, there's such a silver lining in learning how to Beth, I'm sorry, I'm having speech impediments today. There's such a silver lining in learning how to channel constant daydreaming or rumination. That's creativity, baby. Yes. Yes, it is. And honestly, you know, being here, I know this doesn't seem like very creative what I'm doing here, but there is a creative element to what I do. And it's, you know, thinking of what am I going to talk about and what can I, you know, how can I touch people in a way that they need to hear from me. And you know, a lot of times I take my ideas from you guys, but I still have to create the content around it. And so I'm blessed every day to be able to be creative and help people at the same time. What an amazing life, you know. I've never thought that. Yeah. Oh, Peggy says, oh yeah, Angie, that would be awesome with your son, the municipal. I think it'd just be fun. It'd be a nice way for me to do something other than work, because I work a lot. Well, I love my son told me the other day, he said, Mom, you're always working. He's like, you need to get a hobby. I'm like, but I turned all my hobbies into my work, because I write, I do videos, I do all these things. And so like everything I'm into is related to you guys and what I do here, and building websites, all the things. And he said, what about music? You love music. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't really have time for it anyway. He convinced me that I should do it. And I really think it might be a nice way for me to kind of break the monotony of everyday life. And yeah, I'm totally thinking about it. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Catherine loves Hush and Go. So does Angela. Oh, wait. Did I like spin way back too far? I sure did. Okay. Tell you what. Okay. There we go. Tanya says, in the moment. Yes. Angela says, Angie, thank you for saving our souls and helping us save our souls too. I love that. Thank you so much. That means so much to me. Ours says, sadly, when we are further away from the narcissist, we realize that the moments we feel nostalgic for never meant anything to them. That's powerful and true and really heartbreaking at the same time, but it's the truth. And I think, you know, I want to tell you, you know, take the good memories and leave the bad ones behind. But here's the thing for us as survivors is that unfortunately, it can't work that way with us. We have to at least remember the bad memories enough to put them on paper so that if we ever think about going back, we can remember what happened. I mean, I don't want you to carry it around with you 24/7, but I certainly think that, you know, if you're going to let go of it, do that. But definitely write it down so you don't forget what happened, because then when you have abuse amnesia, which most of us do get at some point, and what I mean by that is the longer you're away from someone, the less you remember the bad things, the more you remember the good things. You know, it's important for us to remember the bad things, not to keep living in them, but to remember them so that we don't fall back in. It's very easy for us to fall back in, trust me. But you're right. You're right. Okay. Zani loves clarinet. Yeah, that was my first one. Tanya says, I found myself rocking back and forth, also waking up and panicking, crying. What is that? It sounds like serious CPTSD to me, Tanya. I would say that you're probably in high, that state of constant fight or flight, or even the frozen state. And I would say, you know, definitely look into some of those polyvagal. I did a video a while back called polyvagal exercises or something. Just look on my page, you'll see the polyvagal video. Watch that. I think you might need to also think about, you know, writing things down. If you're constantly going through this, you're going to make yourself sick if you don't do something. Maybe go talk to your doctor and just check in and make sure there's nothing else wrong first. And then if you want to, you know, see a coach or a therapist, you need to work on some coping techniques. I've got tons of them on this channel, tons of them on queenbeing.com. Like, I feel like I can almost feel it right now, this feeling in my chest that feels like constant stress and fear and panic and sadness. I think there's something going on. If you're waking up crying and panicking, that might mean that you haven't taken the time to mourn the relationship yet and to mourn what you thought you had, because that's what a lot of us really have to do. So you may want to take like a whole weekend or a week, I don't know how long your relationship was, and just give yourself time to sort of cry it out, let the feelings come through, because I'm guessing waking up that way, you're repressing stuff during the day and you're not focusing on it because you can't handle it most likely, but maybe it's time for you to let it flow through so you are able to move forward in your healing. Let me know your thoughts. Angela says, all the love and validation to you, Shred Squad, to all of our survivors here. Yes, yes. Hey, Karina, welcome back, my friend. Let's see here. Kira says, my dad was the narcissist. I've always been a daydreamer and ruminator, and also have a diagnosis of ADHD. I have often wondered if it was caused by the constant chaos at home growing up. I believe it was caused by sort of by that. I did not grow up in a chaotic home. Technically, my home was hyper organized, hyper perfect, clean, all that, the home I grew up in, but it was over control in some ways. And anyway, but all of those things are true about me otherwise. And I think it's related to the emotional abuse I don't like to say it's brain damage, but it does change the way that our neurons fire and stuff. And so thankfully we have neuroplasticity and we're able to redirect all that stuff and recreate ourselves as we get older. But yeah, Kara, I'm with you on that. I experienced almost all of those things, except it was not my father, it was the other parent. Let's see here. Martha says, it's been a while since I've woken in tears. In 4 days, 1 year, no contact. Yeah. No contact. That's amazing. Martha, congratulations in 4 days ahead of time. And that's, yeah. And that's the thing. I think we all go through little phases like that. But when we are doing it on a regular basis, it's time for us to, you know, really take the time to release that pain, I think. Let's see here. Pantera says, thank you, Angie. Now, it has already been a year after my breakup. I broke up with my ex 6 months prior to the new relationship. Okay, good. She said, maybe you were right. I wasn't ready. You know, I'm not saying that you weren't ready. I'm just saying for me, I wasn't ready. I don't usually recommend jumping in too quickly. I mean, 6 months should be enough time, but that depends on whether or not, you know, how long you were in the other relationship, what intensity it was, and how it broke off, and sort of how much damage was done to you in that process. But like I said, Pantera, take the time to mourn that relationship. Tell you, you know, if you can, take a weekend by yourself and just let it flow and then see what happens from there. And I don't know how open you are with talking with this new person, but if you're comfortable, maybe you express to them what you're feeling, but it probably isn't going to be great unless that person's really healthy emotionally. So be careful. Angela says, your magic, Angie, really a miracle for us and for yourself too, I hope. Don't forget you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that so much. Grace says, also, it is extremely important for us to stay focused on what we want versus what went wrong.
Yes, Grace.
Yes. She says, it will help keep us in the now and off of the overthinking. And she's right. It is important for us to focus on what we want and not what went wrong. Focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Focus on what you can control, not what you can't control. Because this stuff over here, we have no control over, and we certainly don't want to attract what we don't want into our lives, right? So focus over here on what you do want and what you can control. You're so right, and that's such a valid point. Thank you, Grace. Pantera says, thank you to ours. Siobhan says, powerful. Yes, powerful, says Martha. Linda says, I'm hold your thoughts down as long as you can because the narcissist will circle back around. True. Ours, that is potent. Yes. Kira says, my fourth grade piano teacher canceled my lessons because we couldn't afford a piano at home for practice. I have since bought a keyboard and I practice and learn on that. That is great. And that is crazy that your fourth grade piano teacher would. She must not have really enjoyed teaching very much. Sorry to hear that. Linda says, I remember getting terror tremors and night terrors. Treyer tremors and night terrors. They're no fun, but relaxation techniques help keep practicing. Yes, 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 absolutely. Tania, consider taking a consultation and coaching with Angie. Think about that, please. Thank you. Kira says polyvagal theory is really helpful. Yes, right? I know. Shred Squad says thank you. Absolutely. Now, where was I? Darn it. Integrity Vending. Hello, hello, and welcome. Zani says, when we miss our narcissist, it's more that we miss the person they made us think we were. Exactly, during the love bombing. Sadly, they are not that person. It's an image they projected at us to secure a new supply. That's true. And on top of that, they do this thing throughout the relationship where they give us intermittent reinforcement. So at the beginning, they showed us this awesome person. They were just amazing. And we were just all up in it. And then as they started to recognize that we were human and they started to devalue us, and then they would discard us. And in many cases, they would admit instantly or within months or weeks or days or hours, hoover us, suck us back in, go back to love bombing, go back to devalue, discard. It was like an ongoing cycle. And Zani's right, but that part that keeps us hooked is not just the fact that once they were nice to us in the love bombing, it's because of the intermittent reinforcement, because they give us little bits of that to keep us hooked, just enough to make it, you know, we think, that's it, I'm done, and then they'll say, oh, you look nice today, or they'll say, thanks for making me breakfast, or they'll do something tiny that in a normal situation for normal people, when I say normal, I mean people who aren't codependent or people who aren't stuck the way we were stuck. Most people would think that's not enough, but to us, it's such a change from the daily BS that our life becomes, that when they give us that crumb, we think, oh, everything's going to be okay. Oh, there's a glimpse of that person I fell in love with. And then, of course, it goes away as soon as they got you sucked back in. But yes, I feel you, Zani. Martha says there is a bit of chaos in perfection. That's a valid point, yes, because being that I was not a perfection person, it felt very uncomfortable to me to try to live like I literally never felt comfortable in that house ever, 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 even as a child living in the house. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yes. Heather says, I just heard the ex-narcissist has moved on, and since I heard this, my chest has been hurting and I don't understand. I'm glad he's moved on, but the thing about it is, she resembles me so much and it's freaky. I've experienced that same thing. One time I dated a guy who I broke up with because he wanted to get too serious too fast. I was very young. I was only 19. And he ended up, so bizarre, he asked me to marry him. I said, dude, I'm only 19. I'm not ready to get married. And then he turned around and he met this other girl whose name was also Angie, who had the same type of hair as me, was a similar age as me, and he gave her the ring. And ironically, she worked with me in the same place, and I didn't really know her, but I saw her because he worked with me at the same place. That's how I met him. It was so weird. So weird. And they got married so fast. Like, oh, that was crazy. Yep. Angela, that's right. OCD, clean home, afraid to drop a crumb. Yep. Siobhan says, my sister was a narcissist. I suffered epilepsy seizures throughout my youth. As soon as I got my own place in college at 24, my seizures stopped. That is powerful. I mean, we know they affect us physically. And if you look around in the narcissistic abuse recovery community, you will see a much higher percentage of people with fibromyalgia, different autoimmune diseases, chronic pain, chronic something else. I can't remember, but there's a bunch of them. And I find it very interesting that as soon as you got away, your seizures stopped. I mean, that has to show you that, you know, that this type of abuse, whether it's from a sibling or a parent or a spouse or a friend, it really has an effect on our bodies as much as our minds, if not as much. Yeah, that's crazy. Thank you for sharing that, Siobhan. I love that, Mo Cowboy. Today's background music is Queen. I want to break free. Love it. Although Queen's video of Radio Gaga depicts what goes on inside my brain when I forget you've yet to have your finest hour. Kira says, sending so much support and validation to everyone here. Thank you, Kira. I'll tell you what, Mo Cowboy, music has been a lifesaver for me in so many ways. Yeah. Let's see. Shred Squad says, strange thing. Oh, this is interesting. When my narc is going at me, I swear I see cockroaches. Growing up We had them bad, and my dad was a huge narcissist. I'll tell you something. I have only lived with them once, and it was for a short time. But when I did live with them, I was traumatized by them. I would see them, even though they weren't there. Oh, it was horrible. But I didn't grow up with them, so maybe that was why. But one of the houses I lived in, it's a long story. My ex-husband, long story. But anyway, it was resolved. Tanya says, Angie, thank you. You're awesome, changing lives. Thank you so much. Hey, Stacy, welcome back, my friend. Wait, Tanya said, wait a minute, where was I? Because I just lost my whole place. There we go. Yeah, Shred Squad. I guess I haven't experienced exactly that, but I kind of have experienced. I experienced the trauma of having those in my house for about 3 months. It was horrible. I literally had somebody come in with illegal. I don't know how illegal it was. It was corporate, industrial strength, killer, bug killer. And they came in. I had to leave my house for 3 days, but it did the trick. That's horrible. I don't know that it was illegal, but I know that it was not something you could buy at the store. It was something that they brought from their work. So, yeah. Mandy says, I'm so lost right now. Divorcing narcissist, and because I've gray rocked him, now isn't visiting his kids, says I'm causing issues with no proof. I just can't take the lies, and he gets off of the abandonment charges. Oh, honey, I hear you. I'm so sorry. Just document everything. Document everything that he is doing. You know, if he's supposed to show up and he doesn't show up, write it down. Make sure that you give that to your attorney. And, you know, honestly, I hate to say this, but let him fade away if he chooses to fade away. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying that maybe your kids would be a little better off without a toxic person in their life if that's what he wants. Something to think about. I don't know. Mandy, just stay strong. I understand not being able to take the lies, but just remember to focus on what you can control and not what you can't. What you can control here is try to make life good for yourself and your kids. What you can't control is that dude. You know what I'm saying? So just do your best to stay focused on only what you can control. But in the meantime, document everything. Let's see here. Bama says, Siobhan, that's so sad. Wait, did I miss Siobhan's comment? Siobhan. Yep. Yep. Okay, I got that one with about the seizures. She says, but it's your truth and strength because you're healing is, and sharing. Because your sharing is healing. Sometimes sibling bonds are destructive. That's true. Tanya says, well, that was hard to actually voice. I stayed the night with my friend and had a girl night. Slept fine. Wow. That's amazing. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? UNA says, that's cool. I have a seizure disorder. I wonder if I could come off of that. The only meds I'm still on. That would be so cool. Well, talk to your doctor before you do that. UNA, you always have to talk to your doctor before you stop meds. Okay, Stacy's. I like the lipstick emoji, Stacy. That's cute. Okay, Violet says, hey, Akira. Bama says, thanks, Angie and Sunshines. This group is healing. Work time until tomorrow. Right on. Angela says, oh, this is good. Beware of psychosomatic effects, aches and pains all over our bodies, appetite changes, insomnia, etc. All the results of CPTSD and depression naturally. Yep. Yep, yep. Never believe the narcissist programming, says Mo Cowboy. You've yet to have your finest hour. The narcissist lie. Our best is yet to come. Yes, my friend. All true, and I love that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, Martha, that's great regarding no contact, says Catherine. Pantera says, yes, even just a small compliment from them, it used to light up my day. Now I've learned to say thank you to myself, and after I did, to myself daily. That's great. Yes, Angie, says Zani, as I walk in the door, I'm showered with compliments, yet as I walk out the door, I'm given the bum's rush. No switching up that game. Yeah, indeed. Yep. Yes, Kira, for sure. Yes, the one that I think you're talking about the guy that I dated that ended up marrying another Angie with the same hair. Yeah. So weird. I'm sure they're still not married. I'm sure that didn't last because that was crazy. And he was, I wonder if I was the first Angie. I'm sure there were other Angies. I didn't date him very long for it to be like that. You know what I mean? So weird. excuse me. Martha says, my girlfriend's My ex's girlfriend visually morphed into me, changed her hair color, the way of dressing. Oh, yes, girl. See, that's the really messed up thing about these people, is they will do that to someone, whether it's a man or a woman. You know, they'll take the new person and turn them into... And the thing is, Martha, you may not have even been the first version of you, according to him. I just watched a movie. It was about... I don't know if you guys have heard of Poppy. She's a YouTube person, Poppy, and she is actually like a remake of this woman, Mars Argo. And I can't remember the name of the movie. I want to say it was on Netflix, but it might have been Hulu. I know, I'm terrible. But anyway, in the movie, the movie basically depicts a similar situation where this dude is crazy and controlling, very much like a narcissist. And he has this one girl who his original girlfriend was, and then he meets this other girl, and he turns her into this other girl. But in this movie, it goes on to be fictional. They end up getting together and killing the guy, but that's not how it really went in real life, as far as I know. But it's a messed up situation. Also, this is another one off topic. Let's call this a little good news today. I don't know. A new episode of the remake of the Will and Grace show, the most recent one, the most recent episode, shows sort of an abbreviated, slightly funnier version of a toxic relationship between Karen and one of the people, you know, the character Karen Walker, and somebody she's dating. And it's pretty good, because it kind of shows the early symptoms of a toxic relationship. You might take a look at it and see if you can recognize any of it. anyway, yeah, interesting stuff. Yeah. Chronic fatigue, Stevie. That's right. Thank you. And Martha, chronic inflammation. Same. Yes. Thank you. Angela says, very radiant to what that schmuck did. Schmuck narc. I said schmuck. What that schmuck narc did to you, did trying to remake you. Yeah, that's common. Tanya says multiple sclerosis. Okay. I'm running out of time and I want to keep talking to you guys. Hey, Andrea. Welcome. Ours, yes. Ours says, off subject, has anyone noticed that when the narcissist does a zinger on you, will actually have like a wiggle or shake with pleasure? Yeah, I've seen that. And I've also seen them kind of like look like they're just amused and kind of staring with like this kind of like almost unintentional smile on their face. You know, they'll get you going and then they'll stand back and kind of, and they just look like they're just loving it. And they are. It's supply to them. They love to see you freaking out about stuff. Yeah, it's very upsetting. Yes. All right. Oh, interesting. Andrea says, I was diagnosed with RA, rheumatoid arthritis, I assume, and multi-connective tissue disease, indicating lupus. The emotional abuser with narcissist tendencies left, and voila, I have none. I keep lab reports as a testimony. The body knows. That's powerful. Wow. Yes. Amazing. Yes, Kira, those pesticides are dangerous. I did have to leave for a few days, and I'm not saying I would do it again, but I am saying that the way that I ended up with these bugs was not my fault directly. It was a long story I'll tell you another day, but it had to do with my ex-husband, and he kept some of my stuff, and he lived with bad people, and the stuff got full of bugs, and I tried to leave it outside overnight, and that wasn't enough. So within a day or two of bringing them in, my house was infested, and this was the only way. I tried other exterminators. I mean, I dealt with it for 3 months. Almost instantly, I brought in the first exterminator. I tried several, and then somebody said to me, look, I've got this industrial stuff. It'll kill anything. And literally, I had to take all the things out of the cabinets and take them, you know, cover them and do all the things and rewash everything when I came back in. And yes, it was an extreme measure, but I mean, I was losing my mind. And I was so scared that one of them was going to crawl in my ear. It was a bad thing. So I know it's not the best way to go. And I know that it probably didn't help health-wise, but it certainly did get rid of the bugs. And I was really grateful for that. Anyway, yes, Andrea. A toxic relationship really does poison your body. That's right. Listen to your body. Yep. All right, guys. I want to stay and talk to you guys for so much longer, but I have so many things to do today. I'm so sorry. So I'm going to wrap up. I will see you. Hey, Goonies girl, Shastina, sorry I missed you guys, but please come back and see me tomorrow at the same time, around 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, and I will be here to talk with you about the next topic, which I haven't figured out yet, although I'm sort of wondering if maybe I should talk about the connection between physical health and narcissistic abuse. If that's of interest to you guys, say yes in the chat right now so that I know. You know, how our body kind of sees and understands people before we do, maybe. Our reaction, body reactions, things like that. Let me know if that's of interest for tomorrow. Otherwise, I'll come up with something more fun or more interesting. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Tanya, you are not crazy, honey. Okay, good topic, Martha says. Grace says yes. Elle, hey, Elle, thank you for being here. Yes. Yes, Tanya. Okay, my pleasure. My pleasure, Kara. All right, guys, I will see you guys tomorrow, hopefully, at the same time. As always, if you are interested in being notified before I go live each day, you can text Angie Live, all one word, A-N-G-I-E-L-I-V-E, to 33222, and or hit the bell notification, the subscribe button and the bell notification. I don't know how many people actually do get the bell notification when they hit it, so that's why I have the backup plan. All right, guys, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. All right, hugs and love to each, and thank you, Tanya. Hugs and love to each one of you. I will see you all very soon. Thanks for being a part of my day and letting me be a part of yours. See you tomorrow.